You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
So this morning when I woke up, I got up and I knew that the Lord was in the house, in our house. And I walked into my office and I just knew there was a manifest presence of God. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great day, God, isn't it? I mean, he's always here. He's always with us, right? But sometimes there is a tangibility that is just evident. It's textural. It's you can touch it. You can smell it. You can taste it. So I sat in my little chair and I began to pray in the spirit, and God opened up this internal vision for me. And it was, you know, in my spirit, it wasn't, an opened eyed vision. But as I was sitting there, I was sitting with the Father. And, I always have, you know how God does. There is a time where God's glory is so thick that you cannot move in the glory. Right. There is a time where he restrains the fullness of his glory so you can actually engage with him. Yes. If we were in the fullness of his glory all the time, we'd be laying on the floor. And we've experienced both. But as he began to talk to me about just stuff, you know, he just began to release things, but it wasn't like in words. It was just like in a knowing. It's just like you receive spirit to spirit, not necessarily verbal to verbal. And, you know, I spent about maybe 30 minutes just us talking back and forth. And, you know, I have lots of stuff that I am desirous of the Lord. I am desirous of the Lord. I am always pressing in for more, for us, for our church, for our region, for our family, for everything. I mean, you know, if he asked me what I want, I always say everything. You know the best thing, but I want everything. So whatever the everything the best is, that's what I want. And you know, everything he gives is the best anyhow. So we do understand that. So as I'm praying through it, he said to me, you have everything. I'm like, okay, because I want everything. He's like, you have everything. And he said, I'm training you to know how to use what you already have. And he gave me this analogy. Last year, I bought a new car, and my car was getting old, so I bought a new car. And my new car is one of these ones that has everything but the kitchen sink in it. You know, it has every button, every knob, everything. Well, they had to show me before I left the dealership how to drive it. Because, I mean, it's not an electric car. Don't go crazy on me now. But, you know, it doesn't have a stick shift in the bottom. It doesn't, it has, it's all buttons. So they actually had to show me how to drive it. And they showed me the basics, you know, this is how you turn it on. This is how you put it in gear. This is how you connect your phone, the important stuff. So they showed me the basics of it so that I could actually drive off the lot. And it took me a little bit to get to learn how to use some of the stuff, but my car has so much more that I actually don't know how to use yet. I have it. I own it. It is mine. But I don't actually, I haven't read the manual cover to cover, and I haven't practiced what's in the manual in order for me to know how to fully experience everything my car has to offer me. And I was like, God, that is good. Whew, you are good. I'm thinking, I understand that. So I have everything, and I have a manual, and I am practicing as I read the manual, but I haven't fully learned how to engage in everything that's in the manual in order for me to live in the everything that God has already given me, right? So I was like, phew. Well, this, you know, that's true for all of us. Yes. We have the manual, and we just are, we're learning every day. We're growing every day. And it's funny that Matt said that about the first of the year and starting with Exodus, because that was something that the Lord was talking to me about, was, because we're going to talk about the word. Oh, the one thing he said to me was, the word creates wonder. Amen. When he was talking to me this morning, I was like, okay, well, that's a whole nother box. We're going to open up a little of it. But Matt was talking about the first of the year. Okay, now I got to go through the Bible again. Exodus. And God was talking about to me about how we get so familiar with what we believe, what we think the word says, that we don't actually know what the word says. And we've been doing, there's a small group of us that that have these scriptures that we read three times a day aloud like medicine. So we've been doing it, I don't know, there's maybe six of us or seven of us that have been doing it. And when I first started doing it, you know, I'm faithful three times a day like medicine, reading it for all the seven of us or six of us that are on the group. And as I was reading it, maybe three or four days into it, it was like the Lord says, what does that say? And I'm reading the scripture. I'm reading it out loud. It's like it's medicine. And then I'm stopping because it has all those the scripture references to it. It's paraphrased. And I'm stopping and I'm looking up the scripture. And he says, so what does that say? I'm like, oh, well. He said, you're reading it, but are you understanding that you're reading it and it actually says something that you're reading so you can transform yourself?
Right.
You're not just rote reading scripture. You're reading it because the word is alive and it's actually transforming you as it comes out of your mouth.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So apparently, I got some changing to do. Because we do read what we believe the word says until the revelation of the Holy Spirit comes and says, I know that's what you believe it says, but that's not actually what it says.
Right.
And this same scripture he's been speaking to me over and over and over again is out of Romans 10:17. And we know that word because faith comes by hearing. But what is it we hear? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith is built because we hear. And what is it we hear? We're hearing by the word of God. My faith is not by hearing what CNN said yesterday. My faith is by reading the word out loud. And that enables me to hear the word of God. When I hear the word of God, it becomes consuming for me, which transforms me into what the word of God is saying about me.
Right.
So we're going to read John 1 for a minute. We're going to read a lot of scripture. So Noah will have it all up for you because we're going to go through a lot of quick scripture. But what we have to understand is, the word is our manual.
Yeah.
It is our manual.
Yeah.
But the word, Jesus Christ, is the one who makes the manual come alive in us.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
John 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
He was in the beginning with God, all things that were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made by the word who was with God, who was God from the beginning.
Right.
So nothing was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our life. He is our light. Yes. He is our lifeline. Yes. He is the one. If we need an IV, it's him we need to IV to.
Amen.
We got to be hooked up to the word.
Amen.
And the word has to go through our veins. Have you ever had one of those Myers IVs where they go and they give you all these vitamins? When I was sick, I had the flu the first year and I went and had a Myers IV. And basically, they just pump so much vitamins in you that it knocks out whatever's coming against you. That is the word of God. It pumps so much life in you that it knocks out whatever is coming against you. That, I mean, it's true. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. Whew. Whew. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. Who is the light?
Jesus.
Who carries the light?
We do.
Where do we shine?
Everywhere.
That's right. And the darkness did not comprehend it. We may go into the places of dark and they may not comprehend it, but it doesn't make our light any dimmer. I read, I don't know if you guys know who Roland Buck is, but there was this, you can look it online. It's a PDF called Angels on Assignment. And he talks about his encounters that he had in the throne room and with angels and different things. But one of the things the Lord said to him, and I actually wrote it down because I wanted to mention it. He said, quit worrying about things that aren't your job. Let me pull it up because I want to get it exact. It's under my healing scriptures. The Lord spoke to him and said that we should quit worrying about his responsibility. He actually, and this is what he writes, he actually lets me view people who are trying to serve him by seeing how much they can get into their minds in tune with him by trying to think just exactly right or trying to say the word at the right time. And God emphasized to me, that is my business. You worship me, walk with me, put your hand in mine, get your heart in tune with me, and I will give you the privilege of moving with me, but let me take care of my own business. What I promised is my business, and I will take care of it. I have not failed in all at this time. Not even one of my words has failed in all of my good promises. Amen. So we don't have to worry about what God's job is, because he's actually really good at his job.
Amen.
He is. He's good at his job. He is good at his job. So as I've been kind of going through this process with the Lord, and really thinking about when I'm reading the word and I'm reading it out loud, I'm not reading it so I can get through day 53 of my year.
Right.
I'm reading it to get through what the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate in the word for me.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with going through the Bible in a year. I've done it a bunch of times. At times it's arduous, at times it's beautiful. You know, any kind of discipline we know can be tough on us. But discipline is what makes us strong. But God has just really been talking to me, as you read the word, read it out loud. And then say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know of the word? What are you showing me in this word? What are you illuminating to me for this word? So I want to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about a couple of things. First of all, you know, when he said to me, the word creates wonder, he was talking to me about the awe and the wonder of being his. And when we are one with the word, which we are, if we're born again believers, we are one with the word because the Spirit of the living God lives in us, right? So when we're one with the word, it creates an awe and wonder inside of us that's almost childlike. And I was telling the team earlier that we had our outpouring on Friday night, and there was a couple visiting that I know pretty well from I don't know, Illinois or Indiana. I know them so well, but I don't know where they live. How about that? But anyhow, and at the very end of it, the Lord gave me a word for them, and he gave me a word that says that they're going to be traveling. I can't remember the song anyhow, but he gave me a song. Oh, yes, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. That was the word. And then all of a sudden, like a ticker tape, I saw Manila, Philippines. And I said, I just see that. And I'm thinking, that's random in my head. And afterwards, he comes up and says, oh, I want you to know that my uncle, who's 99 years old, did all this missionary work in Manila, in the Philippines. And I'm like, here I am saying, that was just so random. No, that could be the Holy Spirit. We've got to lean in to the Holy Spirit giving us information of things that we have no understanding of. That seems so random to our minds, but they're aligned with the Spirit. It was really funny. And he started laughing. Well, he doesn't like to fly. And I was like, well, you'll have to work that out with God then, I guess, right? He's never left the United States. They drive everywhere. They've done cruise ships, but no flying. I said, well, I know that there's boats that leave ports out of the West, but that might take a while to get to the Philippines. But he was just like, you know, that word was so meaningful to him. And I told him, I said, I don't know that the Lord's sending you there, but you might want to talk to him about that. But God wants us to understand that we live in awe and wonder and surprise and amazement, that that's the life that he has structured for us, that we are just childlike as the Holy Spirit moves through us in order to get us in the places he has for us. And it's really for as much the other people. Let me just say this. There's three basic elements that we have to all understand. We got to be born again, right? Amen. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved, right? So that's number one. Number two, we need to be baptized with water. We need to go in the immersion. We need to die with Christ. We need to come up with Christ. We need to be raised with Christ. If you haven't been baptized in water, let me know, because we're going to do a baptizing. You know, we're going to do the Southern way. We're going to baptize them over at the Dion's in a couple of weeks. So let me know, because it's important that we go through all that God has prepared for us. And we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So if any of those three things are void in your life, you let me know, because we'll get you where you need to be. It's important. We're not going to skip. We're not going to skip a step. Amen. We're going to do it all. Because that's what the word says. And we don't want to be remiss of the word, because when we're remiss of the word, that opens the door for the enemy to come against us. Right? So that's the very basics that we have to get to. Now, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6, because we're going to talk a little bit about, Matt mentioned it, and I think maybe Deb mentioned it too, about our bodies being the temple, about us getting in the alignment with God. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start in verse 15. Okay, hold your thought. I have so much to say, so we're just going to follow the Spirit, okay? Verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? We all know that, right? That our bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? No, certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. What Paul is saying here is that we have to make sure that we are joined. We aren't split. We aren't able to have a split body, be joined with the Lord and joined with a harlot. We've got to be joined with the Lord and leave our harlotry behind. And we say, well, I had someone say to me, well, cussing isn't that bad. God doesn't really mind that. Well, that means that I'm joined to a harlot because the word says, let nothing unholy come out of your mouth. So wherever we think that we've made an exception with the word, we need to repent and go back to what the word says, because if we're joined to the Lord, we're one in the spirit with him. And there are these little cleanups that need to happen, that need to occur. Verse 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are not our own. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I am reading that because it's important for us to realize we cannot be double-minded. We're going to have to read the word, and I'm preaching to myself. We're going to have to read the word that is alive and active, that when we read it, if anything flags me, then I know God is showing something to me, that I need to repent of that. Or I will not be able to live in the fullness that God has for me, because I will be living in a mind that is doubled. And I want to share something, just an example of something. I was listening to Chris Vallotton. If you have a chance to listen to his message from, I think it's March 10th, this past week. It's about discerning of spirits. But it's about being able to discern what is holy and what is not holy. But in context of this, I want to talk about the torment of the demonic for a few minutes. And the demonic torments us. We know that. That's what Deb was talking about. She was talking about how the enemy has something written about us. That first of all, he's trying to get us to believe. He wants us to believe the bad press. He wants us to believe that we're not good enough. He wants us to believe whatever it is he's telling you, that you can never earn enough money. He wants you to believe exactly what is opposite, what is opposing the word of God. And the only way to get that belief out is to understand what the word says. You have to find it in the word, and you have to keep declaring it over you until the breakthrough occurs. And you can say, well, I read that one time and it just didn't work. The enemy hopes you give up after one time. He hopes you give up for four times. He is battling for territory in you. He's battling. He wants you to say, well, you know, I know God's word says that, you know, I can have victory over the enemy, but I don't really see that happening. So there's doubt in my mind where the word actually works in my life because I'm not being able to do it. Well, if we're not able to do it, then we need to get someone to help us, to help battle with us, to help us learn how to use the word. But anyhow, let me go back to this Chris Vallotton thing, and I won't be much longer, but I do want to share this. Sometimes when you have a tormenting spirit coming against you, you need deliverance. You need deliverance. And when you have it, that continues to cause chaos in your mind or to cause pain in your joints. I was just praying for someone this morning, and they said, you know, you prayed for me on Friday night, and my pain was here. Then the pain left. But then it moved over here. I said, well, that is demonic. We got to get rid of the demonic. So we prayed to get rid of the demonic. We have to be able to understand there are disciplines that we need to do. Like if we're struggling with pornography, we need to understand, is there a demonic spirit that is attached to pornography that is creating such a stir inside of us, such almost like a desperation inside of us that we have to get rid of the demonic spirit? Well, once we get rid of the demonic spirit, we still have to do the discipline of cleaning up our soul. We still have to cut off that pornography that's coming our way. We have to find people that will hold us accountable, someone that would help us, someone, the mentor that would pray for us. So just because deliverance occurs or needs to happen doesn't mean that there isn't discipline that needs to follow up so the enemy doesn't come back even harder at you, right? So when we read the word and it triggers a flag, the Holy Spirit is showing us that there's something that we need to get a hold of here. Right. It may be your thought life. It may be something that you're doing on a regular basis. It may be a TV show. That, I don't know. But I know that the word is meant to transform us. Yeah. And if there's an area of our life that needs healing that isn't being transformed, if there's an area of our life that isn't being transformed, then we've got to get a hold of the word that speaks to that area and to begin to declare it out loud like medicine over us until the transformation occurs. And it may not happen the first time you read it out loud. You may have to war over that word until you have victory. And you may have to get other people to agree with you to war over the word for you. Because we've got to grab a hold of the word and make it where it's like an IV that continuously runs through our veins so that when we speak, that's all that comes out is the word of God. That's good. Kind of makes me excited. It really makes me excited. I mean, I love the word of God, but I feel like God is like, I'm going to begin to explode it inside of you. Yeah. I'm going to begin to make it be like a bomb that goes off every time you read it. That, you know, that it's blowing up everything that doesn't agree, but it's also strengthening everything within you. I want you to be a walking time bomb, amen. Right? We're going to read a couple other scriptures and then we're going to be done. Mark 11, 23 through 24. I know we're going a little later, guys, but it'll be okay. You'll be okay. That's what my granddaughter tells me. You'll be okay. You'll be okay, Cece. I'm like, okay. As long as you think I'm going to be okay. Mark 11, 23 through 24. So this is what the word does for us, right? For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So I say to you, whatever that mountain is, you tell it, be removed. Be cast into the sea. And I'm not doubting in my heart. And if there is doubt, then God, you have to show me the core of that doubt so that when I speak to that mountain, it moves because the doubt that I struggled with no longer exists. That's what Debbie said. You talked about being double-minded. And about the enemy trying to convince us that it's not for us. The word of God is not for us. Well, the word who became flesh and dwelt among us is the word that God gave us to be for us, right? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. One of the greatest people in this, and whether it's Kenneth Copeland, that whole stream of the word of faith will turn you over in what you believe. In just listening to them and reading some of their things, they have faith that moves a mountain. Right. Right. And when you hear people who have faith, then what happens is your faith stirs, your faith grows, your faith builds. That's the reason we do brag on Jesus, is because when we hear what God is doing in others' lives, it builds our faith. Yes. It grows us. It lets us know that what God did for Marquita's mom He's going to do for me. That is the whole purpose of testifying unto God. So I would check them out if you get a chance. I think I'm going to read one more scripture. Zechariah 4:6. And we're going to end with this. And you're going to stand on this scripture and we're going to say it together. Zechariah 4:6. Because we've just had a power-filled morning. We've had the fire of the Holy Spirit released. We've had the, the word released through word, through song, through individuals. God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it's alive. God, we thank you that it just, really, God, we just thank you that it operates the way you intended it. That when the word's released, you say that you are there to perform your word. You're there to perform your word. That the angelic are waiting to perform your word, Lord. God, we just thank you for that. So let's read this together. Let's make sure I have this. I'll read it from here. Okay. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Woo! So, Lord, we operate not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. And even as all that's been released today and the tangibility of your presence, Lord, it has been transformational for us. And Lord, I pray for any person that is having struggles with that demonic oppression. I pray right now that we command it to leave in the name of Jesus. We command all of its little bitty power to leave, and we just release the power of the Spirit over each person that it's affected. And Lord, we just thank you for the discipline of the word that protects us, that heals us, that raises us up, that gives us the power that we need to thwart the plans of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.